Grace and peace to you. Welcome to the podcast, One A Day, where we talk about some part of a chapter of Scripture each day. August 25th, 1 John, chapter 5. Let's get to it. One of the clear marks of John's writing style is circular unfolding of ideas and the repeat of themes. It's one of the ways we can be certain that both the gospel and these three letters were written by the same author. Revelation carries some of those characteristics as well. These circles are poetic in style, and they often revolve around the words faith, or belief, know, love, both God and other people, and obey his commands. Chapter 5 provides one of those beautiful poetic circles, so since we haven't followed it up to this point, let's trace it out and see what the Lord would teach us from it today. First of all, John is about to say that faith leads to love. So faith and love, two parts of this circle. He says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well." So everyone who believes loves Father and child. And then we see that love leads us to obey. So faith leads us to love, love leads us to obey. He says, "This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands." So love causes us to obey. And then we obey by faith. So we're back to faith again. So faith leads to love, love leads us to obey, and we obey by faith. Here's how John says it. "Then his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Now, John wrote it elsewhere, and we're wise to hear it. When we believe that Jesus is literally God in flesh, then we have come to realize that God loves us, and that brings us to love God in return and to love others as well. Then, if we love God, we do what he tells us to do. So faith leads to love, which brings us to obey. And God's command is for us to believe. So when we obey him, it brings us back around to faith. But there's much more in this chapter, including this reiteration from chapter 4, that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. But what I'd like to zero in on is John's closing sentence, which is such a great slogan for us all to live by. I've written it and put it in my office for some years because I think the applications are surprisingly abundant. John says, "Dear children, keep yourselves from idols." That's a nice short sentence. Know that John is writing this out of love, not legalistic bullying. He calls us dear children, just as he calls himself the elder. So consider this to be grandpa giving us life advice in a sentence. The most important thing he can close with, and what he says is, keep ourselves from idols. You know, idols are everywhere. They tempt us every day. I don't mean statues of people or false gods in the traditional sense. Modern culture doesn't fall for that kind of superstitious mumbo-jumbo for the most part, thinking there is some invisible spiritual power out there that we can all tap into if we just touch the right thing or say the right words. Or actually, maybe that is all around us. But because there isn't a statue, we don't see it as an idol. Sort of New Age spiritualism, right? Or what about the rise of superstars in the last generation or two? Sports heroes are paid massive times more than they used to be. Movie stars likewise. Musical artists. Because of our access to media, celebrities are made almost overnight. And because wealth comes with such fame, we focus even more on the lifestyles of the rich and famous. John says, keep ourselves from such false gods as wealth and fame and maybe celebrities. Have we, a society, made idols out of science, self-expression, medications, church, entertainment, education? Oh, that one got a little too close to home. Possessions, health, psychology, the earth, self-help, money. The list goes on and on. Can you see how each of those things, for that matter, literally anything or anyone on earth, can become idols if we're not careful to keep ourselves from them? Idols can be man-made institutions or structures. which we treat with such reverence as to be sacred. They could be holidays or traditions. We could make an idol out of a hobby or a favorite vacation spot. Perhaps a question to ask ourselves on whether we've let something become an idol to us is whether it gets in the way of our Bible reading or devotions. Could it be that our use of the internet has become an idol to us? Or anything that causes us to doubt our faith? Or sources that place bad words in our minds that come popping out when we're under pressure? As you can see, I think there are many idols in our midst. And just because we don't bow down to statues doesn't mean we aren't surrounded by idolatry. But because it's in disguise, we can easily miss seeing it. So I will close by saying to you, dear brothers and sisters, keep yourselves from idols. Amen.